Good evening, folks, and a hearty welcome to our drive-in theater. We have a wonderful evening's entertainment lined up for you.
One that will provide several hours of pleasurable relaxation.
Washington, London, Paris, Moscow are key targets. The whole world is under attack.
Who built it? The Russians? The Chinese? Martians? Canadians? I don't care! All I know is we didn't build it, and that's reason enough to assume the worst and blow up the kingdom come.
For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside. Where no one can see it.
Soldiers and their weapons would be powerless before the onslaught of the beast. The beast. The beast. The beast from 20,000 fathoms.
Guns, tanks, bombs. They're like toys against them.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it. The nation and then the world could fall before the blood-curdling threat of...
Sci-Fi Double Feature Driving Podcast.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, Godzillas and Mothras, aliens and predators. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast.
Yeah.
Woo, woo. I am your conspiracy-loving host, Elisa Weglin, and sitting next to me is my radioactive partner in grime, Jarrett the Kaiju Man Weglin. All right.
Okay, sorry. Jerry,
you gotta keep your true form under wraps.
Yeah, I gotta keep it down.
We finished our double feature of AVP Real with a battle for control of Colorado. In Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Woo! The best alien movie, right?
Everybody. No.
I thought it was the most highly regarded in the Alien and Predator franchise.
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. Well,
this film is trash.
I've been misinformed because I love it.
It's fun. It's trash.
I will always defend it because I think it's great. It just goes balls to the wall, gives you what you want.
Okay. It's got zero character development.
Yes.
It literally throws like 15 different characters at you in like a 10-minute period.
Does it care if you learn their names? No.
No.
I don't want to.
I don't need to know who anyone is.
No.
It's like, here's a lady who's in the military.
Yeah.
Here's a man who is being bullied.
Yeah.
Here's
that guy's brother. He came back from prison. We don't really know why. This guy's a sheriff. He's
friends with prison men. It's literally like, we just told you half the plot.
Yep.
That's half of the plot. This movie has no story. Like, I prefer the first Alien vs. Predator, even though it was less fun, because it has a fucking story. This movie has no story.
This movie's good.
Or characters.
I think this movie's good because that first one set it up. I don't think it would be as good without the first one, because, you know...
It would make zero sense without the first one.
It's like a previously on Alien versus Predator.
Like, could you imagine going into a theater in, like, the early 2000s, and you just go and see Alien versus Predator?
I did.
No, I'm saying, but
okay.
Just imagine, and you've never seen an Alien versus Predator film before...
Oh, man.
And you don't even know, maybe, that there was a previous Alien vs. Predator.
Yeah, it just starts.
And you just go in and you're like, Alien vs. Predator Requiem.
Sure, I'll awesome. See this movie. I don't know what this is about, but...
But could you imagine if you
maybe
had never
it's a court
seen...
case. Maybe it's a court case.
Because there's no story. And so you would just be like, what is happening?
Well, this movie starts out with the very last scene of the first movie, so you really don't know what's happening.
I mean, you could always make the argument of, oh, it's a sequel, you have to see the first one. No.
A lot of
Do you have to see Shrek to see Shrek 2? No.
Yes.
It's still a delightful fucking film.
No, it's not. No, you gotta go straight to Shrek Forever After. don't dabble in the middle ones.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
But yeah, it's garbage. It's a trash movie. made by trash people.
I love it. So, should we get into a little bit of the history of how this got made a little bit?
Let's open the history books.
History books. So, there were some dudes. They go by, in the credits, they go by the Brothers Strauss.
Sounds like some dungeon porn situation in Germany.
You mean they sound like they direct porn from Germany or they're in porn from Germany?
I don't know. Both? But like, oh, come and watch the Strauss Brothers with you.
We are in our own pornos. We direct them and we are in them and we are brothers.
And then there's just techno music playing the whole time. We are the Brother Strauss.
And it sounds like they also make pastries. Like, come get some Strauss Brothers Strussel.
You mixed it up. It's Brother Strauss Strussel.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm trying.
Fucking check your credits.
You know how I just, you know, talk normal? I don't say Brothers Strauss. It's the Strauss Brothers.
Well, that's why I'm making fun of it. It sounds like some kind of fucking
you don't say
you German say shit.
You say the Blues Brothers, not the Brothers Blues.
Oh, the Brothers Blues come in to play a show.
Here is the Brothers Blues. So these brothers Strauss, they were inspired by movies like Terminator 2, which is a great movie to be inspired by. What's that?
I see it. Yeah, you see it? Yeah. The inspiration.
It's a great movie to
it's
be
like
inspired
they
by.
Took, they ate Terminator 2 and they shit out Alien vs. Predator Requiem.
So they wanted to work for Industrial Light and Magic, which is, they were inspired by one of the biggest movies and they wanted to work with one of the biggest companies, which is.
Yeah, every kid.
Yeah. So they worked on the X-Files movie. They worked on the X-Files movie. They ended up moving to L.A. and they ended up working on the X-Files movie.
Dreams come true.
Dreams, I guess dreams do come true. I've never seen it.
Bitter.
Yeah. They ended up
found.
They founded their own special effects company called Hydraulix.
Yeah, but it's spelled like really hardcore.
Yeah, like late 90s. Like they yeah. drop the I and it's just LX, Hydraulics. They ended up helping produce the special effects for movies like Volcano with Anne Heche. Anne Heche and Tommy Lee Jones. I don't care. I don't care about this volcano. Titanic they did. The Day After Tomorrow. Poseidon.
So many classics.
Hey, I like Volcano. That's it out of those ones. Volcano's okay. 300. And then the brothers did some... they did some commercials and some music videos. We'll talk about the music videos in a little bit. They developed a strong relationship with 20th Century Fox, and this is how they dove into the Alien vs. Predator franchise a little bit. They pitched an idea for the first movie, which did not get bought by Fox. Fox almost bought a film called Wolfenstein.
Dumbest name.
You think it's a dumb name? Movie? It's actually a very popular video game franchise. Well, I'm not sure if
Wolfenstein. You literally just like werewolf Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty popular early video game. They still make Wolfensteins. It's the name of a doctor, a Nazi doctor, Wolfenstein.
Oh. That makes sense. That actually sounds a lot better than what my imagination was.
like a mixture of the Wolfman and Frankenstein?
Yes. Okay. Yes. This sounds like it'd be in the same vein as like Castlevania. No. Do you remember Castlevania?
Oh, yeah. It's like Dracula and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Fighting Dracula. That was a good game, too. But no, Wolfenstein was more like it was a first person shooter like Doom. So Fox almost bought this script that was suggested by these brothers, but then the sequel to Alien vs. Predator came up, and Fox thought they would be perfect.
They were just so good.
Yeah, because they were only doing special effects, and they thought, oh yeah, these people can write a script.
They've only directed music videos and commercials.
Yes.
Hmm.
And what were those music videos?
They did Nickelback.
Never made it as a wise man. Never made it as a poor man stealing him. This is how you remind me of what I really am.
And Linkin Park's Crawling.
I don't know that song off the top of my head. Crawling in my skin. I lied. I do know it.
These words, they will daddy bum.
Babby
bum. Bee boo.
Oh, Chester Cheetah. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. But yeah, those are some of the most famous that they have directed.
Yes.
So, of course, they could go on to direct a great film.
Yeah, you know, a blockbuster movie. And that one of the prime times of the year, Christmas.
And then they went to on to direct only one more feature after that. Yeah. 2010 Skyline.
Yes. Have you seen Skyline?
That does not even sound familiar.
Yeah, it shouldn't. It's really, really bad. It's an alien abduction, not abduction, mainly just an alien destroying cities movie. But it really looks like it's just made by people that do special effects. There's really no story or any substance to it.
Just like this one? No story?
There's substance to this.
What is the substance? Please tell me. Because now, we're not there. Please tell me what the substance is.
The characters.
Sure, there's no character.
No, I'm talking about Predator and the Xenomorphs.
Oh, those are pre-established characters.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's interesting.
And they totally fuck up the Xenomorph character.
It's interesting enough.
Anyway, after the huge flop that was that movie, yeah. Skyline, they went back to just working on special effects, which is what they were good at.
Yeah.
They were visual effects supervisors on many movies, just to name a few. The Avengers, X-Men Days of Future Past, Avatar, and the new monster movie, Rampage.
Rampage. Haven't seen that one yet. Want to. Looks okay. More looks like just fun, too. No substance.
Yeah. Sometimes those are okay, but sometimes they're frustrating.
Okay. You got to be in the mood for that kind of movie, for sure.
Yeah. But let us move on to the plot.
So let's just discuss the plot really fast. The plot just kind of takes up after the first movie, where we see the alien burst up out of the Predator chest.
The Predalien.
It's called the Predalien.
Yes.
And it ends up making the Predator ship crash back on Earth, and a bunch of facehuggers escape, as well as this Predalien, and we crash in Colorado.
And pretty much immediately, a father and son are murdered.
Yes. You see the father get, he shoots one of the facehuggers. Causing acid to squirt on his arm. His arm falls off in front of his son.
And his son just goes,
Dad, your arm. Your arm fell off, Dad.
No, it doesn't even go that far. It's just like, Dad. And it's like, literally his father's arm just fell off in front of him. And he's just like, Dad.
Then a very magical moment in cinema history. A facehugger finally attaches itself to a little boy.
You said that's so fucking creepy. A facehugger finally attaches himself to a little boy.
I guess the words attach and little boy don't help the situation.
No.
A facehugger finally fucking kills the kid.
Yeah, there you go. That is not creepy.
That's better. I stood up in the theater when that happened.
Yes.
I love that.
And nobody liked you.
No, they didn't. I don't see movies for them, though. I see them for myself.
This is why I watch movies at home.
So we see a bunch of characters that are introduced.
Just like rapid fire. Just like one after the other. Boom, guy got out of prison. Boom, sheriff friend. Boom, bullied brother.
And then the sheriff sends out a search party for this hunter and his kid. They don't find him.
No. And then the predator, there's like...
A predator
from the predator planet.
Gets a signal that the predator... Other predator ship crashed.
Well, okay, so there is names behind these predators on set. Let's give them so we can use them.
Yes, the predator in this movie is nicknamed Wolf.
Yes.
Named after the Harvey Keitel character from Pulp Fiction. He's the cleaner character where he would kind of clean up the murders and stuff. All the evidence. This is what kind of kind of what this Predator does. He cleans up kind of the aliens and all the deaths that happen from the accident, but he's not very good at his job through the movie.
He's terrible.
Because he cleans up some things, and then he creates more problems by needlessly killing some people and skinning them. Like, you're not on a hunting trip, dude. Just do your job.
And he's not even following, like, the strict morals of...
No, no. Some of these Predator movies, they make up, like, some morals and code that some Predators live by. This guy's like, oh, this guy's innocent, but I'll just kill him anyway.
I think that this cleaner, this wolf, he's probably, like... some jaded fucking, like, war vet in Predator culture.
He's gonna get fired.
He just doesn't even care. He's like, one of those planets. I'm gonna clean it up.
Definitely,
when he's down there, he's like, this fucking guy, and he just kills him.
He's definitely a veteran because he has a big scar from acid, so he's fought xenomorphs before.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit anymore. He probably has, like, dementia. He's just, like, an old war vet.
Yeah. They talk about this Predator being way more overpowered than the first movie, but you gotta keep in mind that the first Predators were teenagers, and this one's supposed to be a veteran, so I guess that's one thing to keep in mind. But I do kind of agree that some of the aliens are kind of bitches in this.
Yeah, like, it's very, very annoying. Like,
he takes out four. He takes out four in, like, the matter of minutes.
Yeah, there's no fucking way.
Yeah.
Xenomorphs are supposed to be, like, pretty much the most powerful creature in the universe.
And they're smart. They're really smart.
Yeah, in this movie they didn't seem smart at all.
No.
And they seemed very easily murderable.
Yeah.
And the acid didn't really seem like a problem most of the time.
Only sometimes, and usually to the humans.
There was one point where, like, something got stabbed through, like, a xenomorph. Or, like, oh, no, he ripped out the xenomorphs. The Predalians
inner jaw.
And didn't even get burned.
And he steps on one of their heads, too, and he doesn't get burned.
So it's bullshit.
Yeah.
But anyway, and the Predalian's nickname is Chet.
Yeah, they named him Chet on set.
After
Bill Paxton.
Yes. His character from Weird Science.
Weird Science. Yeah, his little slug character. Well, not his slug character, necessarily. Just his character from Weird Science. His asshole brother character.
Yeah, they said on set that the nickname is joked about by the brother Strauss. Because what's the biggest asshole you can think of? It's Chet. A guy named Chet.
A guy named Chet. Have you ever met a guy named Chet in real life?
No. Yeah, actually, I haven't.
Me either.
I think that's more of like an 80s thing. And I think any like 40, 50... 60-year-old named Chet now.
Yeah, they
does not go by Chet.
If there's anybody our age or younger named Chet, we probably never met them because they're probably at a country club or something. Because only really rich white people would name somebody Chet.
I can't even. That weird ass name. But anyway, so the cleaner gets pretty much like notified there's a problem.
Yeah.
So Wolf's coming to Earth.
He's coming to Earth.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcoming himself to Earth.
Welcome to Earth, Wolf me. So he shows up and it's really sad because he sees the hunter and his son in the forest. And, like, they've already been chest-bursted.
Yeah.
And the wife, like, the whole town's, like, looking for these people. And he just, like, dissolves them with acid.
Mm-hmm.
So no one ever gets any fucking closure.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
No, it's not! Yeah, and then he murders a cop.
Yeah, he murders a cop that just kind of... The cop wasn't attacking him. He's just kind of saw the Predator for a really quick second, and his radio went off. And the Predator saw him, and he just
like,
gotta skin this guy.
Yeah. He doesn't even just, like, murder him and then dissolve him to, like, keep witnesses at bay. No, he fucking skins him and hangs him up. It's like, Jesus Christ.
If you're doing your job, you'd think he'd just dissolve him if you really wanted to kill him, but...
Yeah. But then there's, like, a whole bunch of fucking backstories with every fucking side character.
Yeah, there's a soldier lady.
The soldier lady with her husband, but her kid doesn't like her anymore because she went to war, which is fucking bullshit. And then there's... this kid who's a pizza delivery boy, but he has a crush on this girl, but...
She's not even that cool. She's kind of white.
She's kind of wall-eyed.
She looks 28.
Yeah. But and then he gets beaten up by her boyfriend and he's thrown in the room.
The boyfriend has no reason to be mad at him other than...
Then he said, like, I guess you ordered the sausage lovers.
Yeah.
And this guy, like, loses his fucking mind.
He assaults him and punches him and throws him to the ground for a joke that I would say to my own friends.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, all these side characters doing their side shit. And in the meanwhile, face huggers be face hugging.
Yeah, they be killing hobos.
They be killing peoples. And aliens be sprouting. Yep. And they be growing.
It's always the hobos the first to go. Always the hobos the first to gobos.
Hobos gobos. It just reminds me of, like, BOGO.
You don't want to be a hobo in a horror movie.
No.
At least the dog got away. At least we know, for all we know, we didn't see the dog ran away, and then it killed the lady instead of the dog. So that's good.
That's good. We just don't want any dog deaths.
Yeah, we don't want that. So.
So now there's lots of aliens, and the Predator's trying to keep up. Yep. He's going in the pipes. He's shooting them up. But there's so many.
There's so many. They just keep going. And then he finds them at a power plant.
Yeah, and there's like a blow-up situation. Yeah,
so then he cuts the power off of the town.
So all the town's dark. And then
the characters.
Kids swimming in a fucking pool.
Yeah, then the girl's like, you can swim with me at the boat.
You can swim with me. Are you looking at the clock? Are you looking at my buddy?
And then of course, the mean guy shows up and he wants to beat him up again. But then we get a cool xenomorph in the pool shot where you're swimming. And then
he kills someone in the pool.
Yeah, of course, they make him kill the black kid first, which is not cool.
Hobos and black kids first.
Man, you don't want to be a hobo. You don't want to be a disenfranchised youth. Or a hobo.
Oh, you don't want to be poor or a minority in a horror movie.
I think we need equal opportunity murders in horror movies.
Equal opportunity murder. Kill the blonde white girl first.
Which is good. Well, they do finally kill. I was like, I can't remember if they kill the little blonde, the blonde girl. And then they finally do kill her in the hospital.
Oh, my God. I just remembered something horrible later in this movie. Anyway, okay, so moving on.
They figure out that they need to get to the hospital. All these characters that we didn't really care to learn the names of. They get in a tank. They said, oh, we gotta go to the hospital.
And then they fuck up the tank. And then all these people are going, where are they going? Who are we going?
They're like, oh, that's all me.
And then the aliens kill the National Guard.
Yeah, the National Guard gets murdered. That's where they get the tank from.
This is the most discombobulated plot.
It doesn't matter. We're getting through it. They're like, oh, the only helicopter is at the hospital. So they go to the hospital.
But then the police officer, man, he separates.
He doesn't want to go because he talked to someone on the radio.
And they said, go to the center square. And the rest of them are like, no, that's where all the aliens are going to be. And the policeman's like, I trust authority.
Yeah, I trust this government.
I think that's literally the line. It's like, I trust the government.
Yeah, you're stupid.
Your government's going to murder
you. You dumb as fuck. So, anyways, on the down low, the government is going to nuke this fucking city.
Yeah. And it's pretty great. And also, the Predalien is fucking putting eggs in pregnant women, and it's horrible, it's my least favorite part of this movie.
So the Predalien is a young queen, and apparently the brothers Strauss say it's a young queen, and before a queen matures, and it could deposit eggs through its mouth, apparently, they made this up in the can. It's not in the official Xenomorph canon.
Yeah.
But it's in their movie. So it deposits eggs in this pregnant lady through its mouth. It's pretty cool. At least
no,
it does not like it.
No, it's fucking horrible. It's a live pregnant woman. She's about to give birth. And the Predalien comes in, Chet, and fucking barfs eggs inside of her, kills her baby.
It's pretty cool. Then our ragtag team of dudes in the tank...
They come to the hospital. They see what's going on.
They start quickly dropping.
Yeah.
Some people we didn't know the names of die, and then our supposedly cute girl dies.
the beloved hero? Who's the hero in this?
I don't know. Was the pizza guy the hero?
Was the guy who got out of prison the hero?
I don't know. Was the
pizza guy's girlfriend got fucking
throttled. She got like pinned to a wall with a ninja star.
Yeah, she did.
With acid on it. It had acid on it from an alien. She got fucked up.
Yeah. And then
he gets pizza all guy's mad. Pizza
like... and just like started shooting the predator.
Yeah.
And the predator's like barely bothered by it. Like the reason he gets down the elevator shaft is because of the
Fredalian. Yeah. They finally get to the helicopter.
After some shooting.
And he takes, the predator, his gun falls off of his shoulder. So the pizza boy has the plasma caster.
No. It's Prisoner Man.
Yeah, Prisoner Man has the plasma caster, which is what it's called, I think. And they go up. He's using it as his gun. It goes...
Yeah, and it takes forever to shoot.
But it goes through walls and shit, whatever. It still sucks when you can't shoot over and over. But they get to the roof, and it's course crawling with aliens, and the Predator gets up there, right?
Yeah, and Predator's fighting Predalien.
And regular aliens.
And they fly away in the helicopter.
Yay.
And as they're flying away in the helicopter, everyone gets fucking nuked.
Yeah. Everyone in the town square is like, hey, Colonel, is the evac helicopter coming? And he's like, yes, it's coming. It's we're about 10 miles out.
And dropping the bomb.
Boom, boom, boom.
But yeah, I did not expect them to actually nuke.
Oh, yeah, they nuke a fucking town.
They nuked them. And the helicopter barely escapes.
Yeah, it crashes.
But definitely radiation poisoning.
Oh, yeah, they crash, but they make it out alive of the crash, at least.
And,
they're met with some soldiers.
Yeah.
They're like, what, you nuked the town? And they're like, we're just following orders.
And they take the gun. They take the Predator gun.
They're like, here it is, Miss Yutani. Dun, dun, dun.
What does that even mean?
Weyland Yutani.
Weyland
Yutani Corporation. See, Mr. Weyland and Miss Yutani form a corporation together, so she's supposed to be that entity, I guess.
Anyway, so that's that crap movie.
Man, it's so good.
There were some late script changes.
Yeah. Well, do you think you would like this particular script change more?
Yes.
You think so?
I think that they already had so many balls with what they did in this movie. Just fucking finish it off.
Yeah, they were going to cut out that little ending with Miss Yutani. And instead of them having that scene, they were going to have the survivors hand that gun over to the soldiers. And just have the soldiers gun them down.
Yeah.
And then with a movie that's super balls to the wall like this, right after them nuking a whole town of people and then having a group of soldiers gun down a group of survivors, I think that ending would have been pretty cool.
And they already killed a kid and fucking murdered
a pregnant lady.
Pregnant women who were about to give birth.
But at least the dog got out.
The dog is okay.
The dog got out. The dog got out.
So, also, Adam Baldwin was going to be in it.
He Adam Baldwin.
Because what are we doing on Adam Baldwin?
Oh, they wanted him to reprise his role from Predator 2. they wanted to connect this with the other movies so badly.
Yeah, but they didn't.
They also wanted to have Danny Glover in it from Predator 2, but he couldn't do it.
His schedule didn't mesh well. They're either. Like,
we want to connect this somehow.
Please, man, I'm over.
That's why they opted for the Yutani thing, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. In the original plans, the Predalien inherited some behavior as well as physical traits.
That's dumb.
Yeah, that would have sucked.
I'm glad they didn't do that.
Like, xenomorphs do not do that.
Even though they have, like, some intelligence, like they can cut the power, like in Aliens 2 and stuff.
Well, it's their own thing. It's not like they're fucking dittos.
No, yeah. They take some traits, like the one that took the traits from the dog or the ox. They were four-legged or they're fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like if they came out of a bird, they're gonna be flying or something. Maybe they would fly. I don't know.
They eating worms. Chirping,
yeah.
Migrating south for the winter, like that kind of shit. Behavior,
yeah. Behavior, whistling.
Yeah, I can't whistle other ones. I would right now. There you go.
There we go.
So Kelly, the female soldier, was supposed to get more action scenes, specifically one showing her gunning down aliens as they made their way to the hospital. A scene which makes their insistence at getting guns and using the helicopter to escape instead of just driving out of town more. It makes it more sense. Makes yeah. more sense.
Makes it way make way more sense.
Since the roads were intended to be swarming with xenomorphs, but executive meddling forced them to drop the scene and to focus more on the male lead. Yeah. As the action hero.
You know, they spend, even though you still don't care about these characters, but they spent a good 15 minutes building up this soldier character, this female soldier character. You would think that they would use what they built up.
All they do is have her fly a helicopter, and they don't even explain, like, she flew helicopters.
Yeah, they didn't say she was a pilot.
She drove a tank and a helicopter.
Yeah.
It's just so infuriating. That probably she was the strongest written character.
Yeah.
And they cut down her action scene so they could give the male lead more action. But I'm thinking which man was the fucking male lead?
That's what I was just going to say. Like, is that the prisoner? Because they didn't give him anything really to do anything.
They didn't give him anything. The only thing he does is in the end, he's the one with the big gun.
Yeah.
But he's got zero story. Literally zero story. The only story we know about him is he gets picked up from the prison in the beginning, and he's this guy's brother.
And the pizza boy is a little more interesting than him, but he still doesn't have shit.
He doesn't seem like a lead at all.
Yeah.
So, who the fuck are they talking about? This is just frustrating.
Yeah, I would have just used her.
Yeah.
Her character.
Like, ugh.
That's really not, I mean, I think that at the end they're just like, this isn't about the characters.
This is about some aliens fighting.
But you can just see at the end that they were just kind of juggling chainsaws.
Yeah.
And they cut things here, and then they didn't make up for it in other places.
Like,
in the script.
Like, it seriously doesn't make sense why they keep insisting, like, we need to get a helicopter. Why? Why do you need to get a helicopter? You don't even see how serious the infestation of xenomorphs is.
No.
Until they're fighting in the plaza.
Yeah, it's not a Wild West town where this is the only road out of here.
But, like, it doesn't seem like the infestation's that bad where they couldn't drive.
You need a pickup truck and just drive fast.
Yeah. So, into production taglines for this movie.
This Christmas, there will be no peace on Earth.
The last place on Earth we want to be is in the middle.
It began on their world. It will end on ours.
In space. No one can hear you scream on Earth. It won't matter.
I love the Christmas one. And I love the play on the old alien one. The can hear you scream.
Yeah.
They're good taglines. They might be better than the movie.
They definitely give the movie more class.
Yeah. I saw this on Christmas.
You did? Yeah. On Christmas?
Yeah, because there's not really much to do on Christmas you're at a family's house for Christmas.
Oh my God, you were like 20.
Oh yeah, I was 20.
And I was 16.
That makes it all better and creepy.
So production wasn't all bad at the start.
No.
But things quickly began to go downhill pretty early on.
Yeah.
The film suffered from quite a low budget for such a big movie.
Mm-hmm.
This infamously resulted in an on-set clip of the film cinematographer pissed off at the near non-existent lighting budget he had, which went viral a couple of years later. So, you know, it's probably up there with the Christian Christian Bale.
It's not as bad as that. It's mainly him being really mad that there's really no lights at this point. It's when he's filming the part where the alien comes through the little girl's window when the dad shines the light.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The flashlight isn't bright enough, and he's really pissed off about it, and all the lights are not bright enough. The whole movie's not bright. There's lots of dark
that's
scenes.
That's one of the complaints from critics is that it's a really darkly, it's not a dark movie, it's just darkly fucking lit.
No, there's tons of articles of someone writing an article will put a screenshot of the movie and they'll say, no, this is the first shot of the Pred Alien, and it's a dark screenshot, a black screenshot with like a little image you can kind of see. It's like, man, they really did not have lights or, the DP seems perfectly capable of shooting the movie, but I don't know what was the deal.
Yeah, who knows? So this coupled with executive meddling that demanded that the film take place in a modern day urban setting and also forced the Pred Alien to be hastily expanded into the main villain at the late stage in the writing process. The inexperience of directors Colin and Greg Strauss, who had long careers as effect designers but had never actually directed a feature film, also didn't help much. So, filming on Alien vs. Predator Requiem began September 25th, 2006, in Vancouver, Canada, on a 52-day schedule, which is insane.
Yeah.
Who can do something like that in 52 fucking days?
Yeah, especially when a lot of it's exteriors, not on sets. It's really crazy. And most of it's going to be in CG, in post, but still.
Well, a lot of it is having to wear, like, suits.
Yeah, that's
stuff.
True.
So this has to have been
crazy
days.
There is a lot of suit work in this, even though they say a lot about the CGI being bad. There's a lot of suits in the scenes and suits in the fight scenes.
Well, especially from the Predator.
Yeah.
I think the Pred Alien is predominantly
Pred Alien's suit almost all the time, I think.
Yeah, because the alien's the regular xenomorph's a little hard to be suit because, you know, compared to other people, the head shaped weird.
Oh no, they just shoot it from certain angles. His head is tucked in the neck weird. They just shoot it weird. Just when it's like lunging or if it's shot from the side, then it's the animatronic. But if it's like moving, then it's someone in the suit. Or if it's like on the roof and stuff, then it's CGI, like jumping around.
Yeah.
But they did use a lot of suits in this. I mean, you can tell the ones that are CGI.
Oh, you can definitely tell what's CGI. So during filming breaks, the brothers supervised visual effects work on 300, Shooter, and The Invasion by using in-house supervisors in a system called Mavis and Lucy, which let the brothers track, view, and approve dailies. Bill Paxton was approached to play the cook in the film so he could be in Aliens, Predator, and AVP franchises, but unfortunately, his schedule didn't allow it.
Pity.
And as we already talked about, Danny Glover and Adam Paul.
Yeah, they really wanted to connect it.
They really wanted to bring some of the old favorites back.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to special effects.
Colin Strauss estimated that their company, Hydraulics, produced around 460 to 500 visual effects shots, including the whole nuclear explosion shot. They didn't want to use a set for the Predator ship because they thought that CGI would just make it a whole bunch cheaper, which is true, but it doesn't look as good.
No.
I wish they would have used a set for that. It would have been cool to see. I don't know if I couldn't tell if they used a set for the first one.
In the first AVP?
Yeah, for the Predator ship.
I think so because there was a lot more going on.
There's definitely parts of it that were a set.
Like in this one, you didn't really see much.
Yeah.
It was really just like, oh, those are jars full of facehuggers. Yeah. Oh, this is, I couldn't even tell, what really happened.
Yeah, it was really quick.
It was really quick because they just wanted to cheap it out. So using their knowledge in visual effects and making use of principal photography, the brothers tried to film as much as they could on camera without resorting to CGI. Colin said, other than the exterior spaceship shots, there are no pure CG shots. The CGI was used for the alien tails and inner jaws, whereas they required puppeteers and wire removal on previous films. The main visual effects of the film included set design, a nuclear explosion, the Predator ship crashing, and the Predator's cloak. about which Collins stated, "We wanted to make sure it didn't look too digital." Which the Predator's cloak always looks fucking digital. It looks awful every time I see it. Probably the best it looked was in the first fucking Predator movie.
Yeah, it looks. I think it looks good in the first one.
Yeah, like, it's not as noticeable. Because that's what you want. You want it to not be noticeable. But the thing is that they wanted you to know where the Predator was while he's still invisible. So they made it look even more digitized.
Yeah.
But in the first one, it was more like, ooh, where is he?
It looked almost too perfect, which made you notice it more. Mm-hmm. The newer cloaks.
Yeah, they tried to, like, make it 3D and blend in. It's strange.
Yeah.
It just makes it look bad, and, like, it doesn't make it look real.
Mm-hmm. So they brought in Ian White back to play the Predator. He played the Predator in the first Alien vs. Predator. He's a pretty big guy. He's 7'1". Big guy. He also played the Engineer in Prometheus, like we said in the last episode, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and he's played in Star Wars and pretty much anything that needs a big guy in a suit or in a motion capture suit. They stuff him in that.
Yeah.
So he's a good guy to go to. So this is the second Predator movie he's been. I don't know why they didn't make him go in the Predators movie that was after this. Kind of weird. They usually go back to people when they're used
when
for
they're playing unsightly large monsters.
Yeah, exactly. So Amalgamated Dynamics.
Ooh.
They did work on Tremors, of course, and
some of our favorite science fiction movies.
Yeah, they did Alien vs. Predator 1, Tremors 2.
They've done plenty of Aliens movies.
Godzilla
they did.
The newer Godzilla that's coming out. A bunch of them. They said they redesigned the Predator for this one because they said that when they designed the Predator for the first Alien vs. Predator, they said that it was too muscular and disproportionate. They wanted to go back to the older design from the first Predator movie that was kind of more streamlined and just kind of like a strong human looking more proportionate and just I don't want to say real, but just kind of look normal.
Yeah, more real.
They think that they gave the ones in the first movie just kind of way too cartoonish features, I guess, would be a good way to say it.
Yeah, and that kind of pulls audiences out.
Yeah, they wanted to
understand that.
They wanted to make it look kind of like the original Stan Winston, because Stan Winston designed the first suit, and Stan Winston is a king among special effects.
So let's move on to reception. How did people like the film in the world?
Okay, well, if you're talking just about money, it definitely made its money back.
Oh, yes. The film was released in the U.S. on Christmas 2007. Its budget was $40 million, and its worldwide gross ended up being $157,461,400.
Yeah.
So, payday!
Doesn't mean it's a good movie.
However, it's still the lowest grossing Alien film in the domestic box office, and is the second lowest grossing Alien film worldwide, next to the original Alien. And the lowest overall in either series when inflation is considered. Boo, you suck.
I like it. I like it. Give me some of that.
The film scored an 11% approval rating at Rotten Tomatoes. The consensus states the increased gore and violence over the first Alien vs. Predator can't excuse Requiem's disorienting editing, excessively murky lighting, and lack of new ideas. There was the occasional positive review, however, and they're all named Jarrett.
No, I do agree that the lighting is shit, man. I like this movie so much that I want to see more of it because it's dark.
Do you?
I don't.
If you could see more of it, would you be impressed?
I don't think this movie is amazing. I'm just giving people a hard time that really hate it, and that's why I'm saying that I like it so much. But I do like it. Good.
It was fun. It was fun. I had fun while watching it. Fun making fun of it.
Okay.
So, oh yes, the positive reviews. Neil Genslinger of the New York Times stated, "It may not be classic sci-fi like the original Alien, which it has in its DNA, but it's a perfectly respectable next step in the series. Daily Variety called it a slam bang horror action.
I'd agree with that one.
Slam bang.
Slam bang horror action. That's a fun one.
And MovieWeb.com said, a cool new monster, over-the-top violence, AVPR is a lot of fun.
You know, those are all pretty honest reviews.
That last one was actually Huelhauser.
It's
a lot of fun.
Over-the-top violence, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, that dog's eating an avocado.
That dog's eating an avocado. Oh, wow.
So, criticism. Aliens vs. Predator Requiem was nominated for 2 Golden Raspberry Awards in the fields of Worst Excuse for a Horror Movie and Worst Prequel or Sequel. It did not win either award.
Hey, some of the best movies are nominated for Razzies.
Like Freddy Got Fingered.
Best
movie.
I'm just mad because it's not a sci-fi movie and we can't talk about it here. So we're going to talk about it this small 10-second segment.
I love Freddy Got Fingered. It's Tom Green is a comedic genius.
It's an American masterpiece of American cinema by an American filmmaker.
Canadian.
Oh, yeah. By a Canadian.
It's got some of the best quotes.
Oh, man. So good. Go watch that
when you're not watching sci-fi.
So good.
Moving back on to sci-fi. Criticism from fans of both series are also ever present in the pop culture ether. Big fans of the Xenomorph felt like the creatures were cheated.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I agree with it fully. They thought they were dumbed down, and the brother Strauss were clearly favoring the Predator in their story. Super true. So true. They totally favored the Predator. They dumbed him the fuck down, and they made him super easy to kill, and their acid blood didn't even matter.
Yeah, and even though that they introduced a new, not species, but new variant on the Xenomorph, they didn't even really do too much with it.
No, they didn't. Like, really, the only thing that mattered was the mouth.
Yeah, but they didn't make it, like, smarter or more, that much more powerful.
Yeah, it just had a different look.
Yeah.
And that's really annoying.
And the drone or warrior xenomorphs, as they're called, were a lot dumber and just stupid.
They were so stupid and they were so easily murdered. And it was just frustrating because, you know, if you're really going to do an Alien versus Predator, you can't just, like, handicap the fuck out of one of them.
That's what I like about the first one. Is the Xenomorphs are really good fighters in that one.
That one is actually pretty even. And, you know, I was a little disappointed in how they portrayed the Xenomorphs. I thought it wasn't as up to par, but it still was a pretty intense battle. This one is just, it's not even versus. It's just one Predator wiping out as many aliens as he can before he gets killed and America nukes it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even a versus.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that part. But I still like the movie.
I thought it was fun. That's what the word I will use.
Fun. And I like it.
Till the day I die. It was a garbage movie.
All right. So that's our AVP reel.
AVP reel is over.
Well, we still have an underground coming up, I think.
We do have one more episode for the month. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure, as always.
Yeah, it was great.
We actually have exclusive Patreon content coming out.
Yeah.
Which is Jarrett and I reading exotic cryptid fiction.
Erotic and exotic.
Erotica. Jarrett and I read you cryptid alien erotica.
Oh, boy.
And it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it's fun for everyone. So if you are a Patreon, check it out. If you're not, become one.
Yeah.
Join the Kaiju crew.
You only get that if you're a Patreon. So head down to our Patreon for that and other cool rewards at different levels. Check that out. And... stay tuned for the end of the show for a couple promos from our friends.
Yeah.
And make sure you check out our Alien vs. Predator shirts. They will still be up, and you can choose your team and support it.
Who are you voting for? Xenomorphs? Predators?
Oh, Xenomorphs.
In a real battle, not this bullshit fake one.
Oh, shit.
In a Xenomorphs, real Xenomorphs all the way, boy!
In the real war, if that happened for
if
real?
If it was a real fucking war between Xenomorphs and Predators, it would be Xenomorphs, and you know it.
Oh, I thought you meant, who would I root for real?
Well, I wouldn't root. No, that's horrible. This is a terrible battle that will surely end in all our deaths.
Well,
but like in this, you know, in the
Out of my favorite is the Xenomorphs by far.
Yeah, they're gonna win.
But out of the shirts that I made, I think the Predator one looks better.
Oh, it is pretty cool.
But I like Xenomorphs way better than the Yautja.
Xenomorphs gonna win. Yeah, they're gonna kill you. Tell us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Who you think will win?
Yeah, and buy a shirt. Tell us by buying a shirt which one you like more.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We had lots of fun this week. This was a fun topic for April, and we have a really special theme for May. So stay tuned for that. Yeah.
Stay tuned for info on that one.
And we'll see you on the other side.
So we will banish the Xenomorphs and the Predators because we are going to praise Godzilla.
We praise him.
He is our Lord. We love him.
We praise our Savior.
All the false prophets be gone.
Xenomorphs, banish those Predators.
Oh, Godzilla, praise him.
Lord, you praise him now.
See what movie's playing next at Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In on Instagram, Facebook, and our website. Just add that.com. Catch us on Twitter at SFDFDI Podcast.
We sure hope you enjoyed the movie. Thank you for joining us. As always, we're glad to have you. Please replace your speaker, dispense of all trash, and watch for children as you carefully exit our theater. Good night.
Hey, do you like movies?
Hey, do you like podcasts?
If you do, then come on down and listen to the Home Video Hustle podcast, homie.
Hustle, hustle.
Every Friday, we talk about whatever movie PJ picks out the bag. What does that mean? Well, every Wednesday on our YouTube page, I pick a bunch of movies at random. Sometimes there's a theme to it, sometimes not. PJ picks the movie up, and guess what? We watch it on Friday. We talk about it for about maybe an hour, hour and a half, whatever we feel like doing. Might give you something good to watch, baby. Come on down every Friday.
So come get your hustle on with Home Video Hustle.
You can find the show on any podcatcher app, or you can come down to homevideohustle.podbean.com. All of them in one place for you, so you can go ahead and binge it like it's Netflix. We ain't the defenders, but I like to think we a little bit better than that. Come holler at your boys, man. Come chill with us. Peace.
Peace.
Hey, everybody. I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies. And tonight, like every night, we bring you questionable movies and pass the lessons that we've learned on to you, as well as we go over some great beer and funny third thing.
Yes, we're excellent beer reviewers, and as BJCP certified beer judges, we sort of know what we're talking about in regards to that. The movies?
So if you want to hear us talk about odd movies and Izzy talking about BJing,
woo!
Listen to us at eilfm.podbean.com. That's Everything I Learned from movies.podbean.com.
Hey, honey, are you ready to pop that top? Woo! My top!
Hi, I'm Phil.
Oh!
Did someone just sign off of AOL?
I'm Paul.
I really don't have a lot on this.
Oh my god, this is rolling off the rails real quick.
And I'm Dennis. Dude,
I am so mixed up today, just don't even listen to me anymore.
And together we are
Voltron! Well, no, not Voltron. We are Useless Debates in Pop Culture, a weekly,
or we at least try to be,
podcast that allows you to pick the winner.
Ding, ding. Ding.
By no means
the internet strikes again.
Yeah, for sure.
We will debate anything.
So if you want to hear debates on such useless topics as best Val Kilmer role,
Tombstone,
or best movie soundtrack,
American Graffiti, or the most successful former boy band member,
JT,
then tune into our show.
Your podcast is so well named.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts/iTunes.
Podbean and Google Play.
And our website, uselessdebate.com.
All right, there we go. Thank God.